Okay, so imagine just looking up, you see a plane tracing across the sky. Happens all the time, right? We barely even notice anymore. But have you ever, like, really stopped to think about that first moment? The actual first time a machine, heavier than air, built by people, actually lifted off. It's so fundamental. There's that old joke, you know, two wrongs don't make a right.
Ah, but two rights make an airplane. Yeah, classic.
Exactly. And that, well, that's our deep dive today. We're talking Orville and Wilbur Wright. Back in 1903, on this pretty remote beach, Kitty Hawk in North Carolina, that's where they did it, invented and flew the first successful powered aircraft. And it wasn't just a flight, it was, you know, solving this huge technical puzzle that brilliant people had struggled with for ages.
It really was. And it didn't just like change travel. It basically created a whole new world.
Yeah.
Which brings up a good point. Think about all the stuff that happens every single day. Why this event? Two brothers, you know, doing something new on a beach. Why do we remember that so strongly?
Good question.
It's more than just science, isn't it? It's really one of the great American stories. So our mission here, especially if you mostly just know the name, is to go beyond that one flight. We want to dig into the who behind the what, understand the mix of personalities, the situation they were in, the sheer cleverness that led to changing the world.
Sure, yeah. How did they pull it off when so many others couldn't? Our deep dive shows it starts, maybe surprisingly, not in some fancy lab, but right at home. A huge part of their success, it seems, came from their family. Wilbur and Orville's parents gave them this really strong moral compass, a clear view of the world. They were taught the world could be, well, an unfriendly place, you know, lots of untrustworthy people out there.
So stick together.
Exactly. Family bonds were basically the only thing you could truly count on.
And that kind of supportive home,
Yeah.
it must have given them incredible self-confidence, right?
Yeah, exactly. Confidence to actually challenge the big names, the established experts in aeronautics. When their ideas went against the grain, they had that inner strength, that family backing to just keep going.
Think about the resilience that builds, facing setbacks, difficulties, but having that anchor.
It's like a psychological shield, really, and not just support.
And it wasn't only family. Their surroundings mattered too.
Yeah.
Dayton, Ohio, where they grew up in the late 1800s, that place was buzzing.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, it was a growing manufacturing hub. Industry was taking off, and being in that environment, that's where they picked up vital mechanical skills, engineering know-how. It just
Yeah.
sort of soaked in. And you know what's really cool? A lot of the big thinking, the planning for the airplane,
Yeah.
it happened right in their family house, 7 Hawthorne Street. Imagine that. World-changing ideas coming out of a regular home.
That really paints a picture, doesn't it? And it kind of messes with that image many of us have.
What image is that?
You know, the Wright brothers, like they were one person, one brain, one personality working together.
Ah, yeah, the single entity myth.
Right. But the reality, as our sources show, is way more interesting. Two very distinct people, different talents, different ways of seeing things. It wasn't just the Wrights, it was Wilbur and Orville.
Exactly. You really have to meet them as individuals to get it. Let's start with Wilbur, born 1867, the older brother. He's described as, well, steady, confident. His dad even said he was never rattled in thought or temper.
Wow, high praise.
Right, super smart, read constantly, good writer, good speaker too. Could be outgoing, but also could just shut the world out and focus intensely. Did great in school, apparently had an amazing memory, athletic too.
Sounds like he had it all figured out.
Well, then life threw him a curveball. A really bad ice hockey accident when he was 18, smashed in the face with a stick.
Ouch.
Yeah. It led to lingering health problems, heart palpitations, digestive issues, and a pretty serious bout of depression. He kind of withdrew.
So that changed things.
Big time. But instead of just stopping, he channeled it. He dove into his father's library. His dad was a bishop, had tons of books. These lost years, roughly 1886 to 89, he basically educated himself, became incredibly well-read, honed his writing. He also spent a lot of time nursing his mother, who was terminally ill with tuberculosis.
So that difficult time actually shaped him in a profound way.
Absolutely. Built that intellectual depth, that resilience, definitely prepared him for the challenges ahead.
Okay, so that's Wilbur, the steady thinker. Then there's Orville, born 71, 4 years younger. He's described quite differently, isn't he? More impulsive, maybe, optimistic.
Yeah, full of energy, curious, always tinkering, always coming up with ideas. A really quick mind. Apparently, while the whole airplane idea might have started with Wilbur's initial push, It was often Orville's enthusiasm, his, like, unstoppable energy, that really pushed them through the tough technical problems. He just wouldn't quit.
The problem solver.
Totally. He was fascinated by tech and science from a young age, always experimenting, taking things apart to see how they ticked, just driven by curiosity.
And here's something wild about Orville, despite being obviously brilliant. He never actually graduated high school.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He took some advanced courses his junior year that meant he wouldn't get a diploma with his class, so he just didn't go back for the final term his senior year.
Huh.
But don't get the wrong idea. Like Wilbur, he was all about self-education, reading widely, learning constantly. People said their combined education, even without the formal degrees, was easily like a modern four-year college education.
Okay, so put those two together. Wilbur, steady, deep thinker-focused. Orville, energetic, curious, hands-on problem solver.
Yeah, you can see how that would work.
It created this incredible synergy, right? They complemented each other perfectly. Wilbur provided the thoughtful framework. Orville, the relentless drive to make it work. It wasn't just two smart guys. It was two different kinds of smart working together. That dynamic, that's what cracked the code. And that partnership really shines when you look at their practical side. Before aviation, they were just businessmen.
Modest Midwestern businessmen, yeah.
They had a printing company first, right? Which probably taught them a lot about precise machinery.
Good point. Precision was key.
But then they got into bicycles, opened their own shop.
And that shop, that was more than just a business. That was basically ground zero for their aeronautical work.
You mean like it was their lab?
Exactly. Think about it. Bicycles deal with balance, lightweight structures, steering, how forces work when you lean.
Ah, I see the connection. Control, balance.
Precisely. Working on bikes gave them constant hands-on experience with all those things. It wasn't abstract theory. It was building, testing, tweaking designs day in and day out.
Right.
That shop fostered their mechanical intuition, their approach to solving problems by trying things, seeing what worked, what didn't. That experimental mindset was absolutely critical for figuring out flight. They learned by doing.
Okay, so all that background, the family support, the Dayton environment, their individual strengths, the bike shop experience, it all leads up to the big moment, 1903, Kitty Hawk. They invent and fly the first powered aircraft that's heavier than air.
That first flight. It might seem short now, just a few seconds, 120 feet, but it was everything. The culmination of years of work, failures, breakthroughs.
And like you said, they solved a problem people had wrestled with for centuries. Why them? What was the key?
Well, many people were focused on just getting lift, building powerful engines. But the Wrights realized something crucial.
What was that?
Control. Flight wasn't just about getting off the ground. It was about staying off the ground and going where you wanted to go. They focused intensely on developing ways to control the aircraft's roll, pitch, and yaw.
Like wing warping, kind of twisting the wings.
Exactly. Inspired by watching birds. That, combined with their movable rudder and elevator, gave them the three-axis control that was missing from other designs. It was their scientific approach, their mechanical skill learned in the shop, and that focus on control. That's what made the difference.
And it's amazing what happens next, too. They don't just, like, pack up and go home famous.
No, not quite.
That flight was the beginning, right? It turned them from inventors into, well, icons. And it launched an entire industry. They formed the Wright Company in 1910, started building and selling planes.
Yeah, moving from invention to business.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing from there. Wilbur especially.
What happened with him?
He got deeply involved in lawsuits, patent fights. They were constantly battling others who they felt were infringing on their invention.
That sounds stressful.
Immensely. For Wilbur, it was about principle. He truly believed their invention was unique, revolutionary, and deserved protection. But the constant legal battles wore him down. He got sick with typhoid fever in the spring of 1912. And sadly, he passed away that May, only 45 years old. Really tragic. The stress likely played a role.
Wow. That's young. So Orville carried on alone.
He did, but in a different way. He sold his share in the Wright Company in 1915. He wasn't really the businessman Wilbur was. But he didn't fade away. He sort of transitioned into this role of aviation elder statesman, a living legend, a national folk hero.
Still involved, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In 1916, he finally closed the old bike shop lease, can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And moved into a proper laboratory he built.
A dedicated space.
Right. And for the next 30 plus years, until he died in 1948, he dedicated himself to preserving their legacy and quietly pushing aviation forward. He consulted with the government, with aircraft companies. He kept contributing. And the honors just piled up, honorary degrees from universities all over, medals, awards. He lived long enough to see aviation completely transform the planet.
What a journey. From a Dayton bicycle shop to global icon.
And that's really the legacy, isn't it? Their invention wasn't just a new machine. It literally helped create an entirely new world.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how fast aviation evolved after them. It changed everything. Culture, how we connect, how we see the world, even warfare, unfortunately. They really did usher in the age of flight. They're cemented in history for a very good reason.
So yeah, when you hear the Wright brothers, it's so much more than just that one flight, that one image at Kitty Hawk. It's this whole story of individual talents coming together, family support, hands-on tinkering in that bike shop, and just relentless persistence against huge odds.
It really is. Their story is not just about inventing a machine. It's about human potential, isn't it? The ability to face a problem everyone says is impossible. To combine different skills, different ways of thinking, to keep trying after failures, and to literally change how we exist in the world, how we see our own limits. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other big, impossible problems are out there right now, just waiting for that right combination of different minds, that same kind of dedication to completely change the game again?